This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's official. Summer has started. Temperatures are rising, and of course, so are gas prices. Many millions of Americans plan to take summer vacations. If you're headed to Yellowstone or Vegas, Maui or Miami, we want to hear from you. How do you find good hotels, and where do you go for cheap tickets? If somebody was coming to your town, what's the one place they have got to see? Where's that little hideaway they ought to go eat? Later in the program, persuasive games, video games that go beyond entertainment to education, advocacy, even art. But first, summer travel. We want your tips and your suggestions. Where would you send a stranger visiting your town to that roadside attraction? 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Matt Gross is the frugal traveler for the New York Times. Last year, he went around the world in 90 days on the cheap. This summer, he's taking a 12-week road trip across the United States in a Volvo station wagon. Matt Gross joins us from KBHE, which is part of the South Dakota Public Broadcasting System in Rapid City, South Dakota. And Matt, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Oh, I'm psyched to be here.
And you just pulled into Rapid City. How far along in the trip are you?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle of my fifth week. Getting close to halfway.
And you're in Rapid City. Are you going east, west, north, south?
All of the above. Go on.
Yeah, I was saying, you started out in Brooklyn, where you live, and then headed south first?
Headed south, went down through some not the best parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey, down through Baltimore, Eastern Shore, Maryland, and Virginia, crossed Virginia a bit, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, then headed north. Headed west. There's a lot of states in this country.
There sure are. And you're going, at least guided, at least in part, by suggestions from your readers.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time one of my stories goes up every Wednesday morning, the readers write in and tell me where I should go and what I should check out and what I should eat and see and do for fun.
And how have those tips worked out?
They've been amazing. I mean, Americans know their country better than any travel writer like myself, any guidebook writer, and they're the ones to look to for advice. The only problem is that there's too much of it. I could spend the entire trip in a single state following up on every reader tip, but unfortunately, I have to keep moving.
And given the nature of your trip, I know that you're avoiding interstate highways whenever you can.
That's right.
But also, there are a few obvious attractions. You're in South Dakota, for example. You're going to go see Mount Rushmore?
I suppose so. I mean, I've been trying to figure out how to do that and how to do it, but avoid the fees that you have to pay for parking, because I'm supposed to be the frugal traveler. I'd rather not drop $8 on a site that I've been seeing pictures of my entire life, and that, maybe I'll just go there and take a couple of pictures. Do I want to spend $8 to see it? Maybe I can park outside and use my zoom lens. Maybe I can snag one of the 50 free parking spots that are available sometimes. We'll see. Ask me tomorrow morning, and I'll let you know if I've seen Mount Rushmore.
And I know that you're also budgeting at, about $100 a day?
$100 a day, but that's a really high ceiling. I haven't spent anywhere near that. I mean, on lodging for the last, say, 2.5 weeks, I've spent maybe $200 total on places to sleep.
How did you do that?
Luck was a large part of it. Couch surfing was a good part of it. I got really lucky in Decorah, Iowa. I drove in there because readers told me I should check out its cool Norwegian-American heritage. And first evening there, I went to a nice bistro called La Rana and had some food and a drink at the bar and talked to the bartenders and the people around me. And by the end of the night, the bartenders offered me a place to stay. They said, come stay at our house. And it turned out they were the owners of the restaurant. They had a beautiful house with a huge willow tree. I had not just a bed, but a sort of apartment to myself. I got lucky.
Well, Matt Gross just mentioned a term that many may be unfamiliar with, couch surfing. Dan Hoffer joins us now. He co-founded a site called couchsurfing.com. He's with us today from a studio at Stanford University. Dan, nice to have you on the program today.
Great to be here.
And what is Couchsurfing?
Couchsurfing.com is a global hospitality network founded on the belief that people should be able to have lots of interesting experiences and adventures when they travel. And the way we enable that to happen is our network enables you to stay anywhere in the world for free, so long as you're willing to sleep on someone's couch in the town that you're visiting.
Mm-hmm. And in return, must you offer your own couch?
We definitely encourage people to offer their own couch as well, but it's not required. We have about 250,000 members in about 220 countries around the world, and about 2/3 of them offer their couches.
Mm. And I have to say, Matt Gross, this raises images of, you know, backpacks and Birkenstocks here.
No, it's not that at all. I mean, well, maybe it is in a little part, but it's also, I mean, it's families. I stayed with a really wonderful family in Columbus, Indiana. Mom, dad, 3 kids, just, you know, sweet, nice suburban family. And, you know, they have kids. They can't travel as much as they used to. They like having travelers come to see them.
Hmm.
This was very normal.
And Dan Hoffer, is that the experience that a lot of people could expect?
That's pretty much the experience. I mean, people have all sorts of experiences, but that's definitely a common theme to have a really positive experience in the home that they stay in.
And do you check out the people who are offering their homes to make sure that there aren't little boards they pull and you fall through the couch into a pit that you never escape from?
Right, that's a common concern. We do have a basic identity verification system. However, since we operate in over 200 countries, we can't, for example, run background checks in all of them.
Mm-hmm. And so New Jersey, for example, no background checks.
Right. yeah, I mean, like I said, we have a basic identity verification service, but generally we advise people to, use their common sense and best judgment, get to know people beforehand through online and looking at people's profiles and learning about them and maybe talking by phone with them.
And do you offer any advice for those people who are offering their couches? For example, ask your guests to check their axe at the door.
Well, certainly, we encourage people to use common sense on both sides, and no one is required to host or stay with anyone. Either party can refuse at any time. So it's just a process of getting to know the person pretty well through our site beforehand and then using their best judgment.
So through the site, they can get in touch with these people by email or whatever and learn the details.
Precisely.
Okay. So this all works out well for everybody pretty much?
It's going great.
And I've used it a million times. It's great for me.
You've used it a million times, Matt. Any problems at all?
No, not that I remember.
Okay. Dan Hoffer, where is the future for this? Are people going to be loaning each other their cars?
Well, you know, we haven't moved into cars quite yet. Right now, we're just trying to build our membership and really introduce even more people to the idea of using this as a viable means of travel and mm-hmm. having wonderful travel experiences.
And Matt Gross, you're going to some, let's put it this way, out-of-the-way places that aren't necessarily the biggest cities in the country. And have you found Couchsurfing.com to be useful in very small towns?
Yeah, it's quite good. They've I don't know if this is a recent addition, but their couch search feature lets you access a Google map that will show you all of the couch surfers in a city, in a state, in a country, and it spreads them out where they are. So you can sort of plan out a route and say, oh, look, hey, there's this lone couch surfer out there in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
You know, I bet a lot of these people would love it for someone to come and stay with them. Big cities like Chicago and New York and San Francisco, I'm sure get, if you're a couch surfer there, you get a million requests. But, if you're in the middle of nowhere, a couch surfer coming to visit you is a pretty special thing. So a lot of these people really in smaller towns really want visitors.
And Dan Hoffer, have you tried your own service? Do you travel around the country sleeping on people's couches?
I definitely have tried my own service. And certainly it's, there are some members who have couch surfed for over a year at a time. I've never done that, but I love the fact that there are people who do.
Congratulations. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dan Hoffer, who co-founded Couchsurfing.com, joined us today from a studio at Stanford University in California. Matt Gross of the New York Times, the frugal traveler, is still with us. And let's get Chuck on the line. Chuck is calling us from Fort Leavenworth in Kansas.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Chuck. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sir. How are you doing? I live at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. It's an interesting place. We're about 30 miles northwest of Kansas City, just astride the Missouri-Kansas border. It's a town founded by Henry Leavenworth in 1832. It's where a lot of the military started and helped police up the West, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You have monuments here to the 9th and 10th Cavalry and the Buffalo Soldiers. We are the home to the U.S. Military Disciplinary Barracks. And the Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary is on our front doorstep.
And do they offer tours that last less than 3 years?
Actually, I don't think they do.
I don't know. Matt Gross, are you planning to visit the prisons of Leavenworth?
I don't know. Can I just show up there and ask to meet with a prisoner? I mean, I would, that would be great.
Are they on the couch surfing list?
I don't know. But one of the things I've been trying to do on this trip is to see how people live in different parts of the country. And it would actually be quite fascinating to see, to just show up and talk to some prisoners and see what their lives are like.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it.
And obviously, Chuck, in addition to prisoners who are somewhat shy and isolated people there in Leavenworth, there's a lot of other people in town.
Oh, absolutely. It's the home to the Combined Arms Center, which is an educational center point for the United States Army. It's home to a lot of other training institutions for the United States Army. The town of Leavenworth itself is the first town of Kansas. So there's a lot of great history from here, how the West was won, how people moved from here. Also, you have interesting things like the J.W. Parker Carousel Manufacturing Company that used to be here and make carousels.
Hmm.
Very strange oddities that you find as you walk around the town.
Strange oddities, Matt Gross, that sounds like your stock in trade.
I love the strange oddities. They tend to be populated by strange people as well, and there can be far more interesting to meet those people.
Chuck, thanks very much for the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
We're talking with Matt Gross, the frugal traveler from the New York Times, about summer travel tips, and we're open to your advice. In fact, we need it. If I or Matt or someone else was visiting your town, where should we go? Where's that great out-of-the-way place for lunch, that roadside attraction you've just got to see? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Everybody who's traveled has tips for other vacationers. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal recently with suggestions like avoiding big hotels, eat where locals eat, avoid crowds, other ideas. If you're interested, there's a link to that article on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. For the rest of you with travel tips, give us a call. What's the secret of your town? What roadside attraction should a passerby stop and see? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. We'll also take suggestions on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Matt Gross is with us. He's the frugal traveler for the New York Times, currently in the middle of a cross-country trip. He's in South Dakota today. Here's a comment from our blog from Thea in San Francisco. Without a doubt, renting an apartment or a house provides a far richer experience than staying in a hotel. It allows you to develop a much better sense of a city or a town or the hamlet you're visiting, immerses you into day-to-day matters. Where is the best cafe creme and croissant? Which farmer has the freshest eggs for sale? When the laundromat is open? What cheap local bus will take you to the volcano? Because you don't have hotel staff to make those decisions for you, it encourages you to discover those things on your own, or better yet, to talk to the neighboring locals to get their advice. And Matt Gross, I'm sure a lot of places you would have loved to stay for a week or a month, but you're on a deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really, you know, this is a 12-week trip, but out of every week, I'm really only traveling about 5 days a week. Got to keep moving, got to keep seeing things. Unfortunately, I got to write also, and that kind of eats up a little bit of time, unfortunately.
That darn newspaper keep expecting you to file, don't they?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what they thought.
How do you pick where you go?
It's a mix of following the reader's comments and also trying to sort of seek out different kinds of places to stay. It's no challenge to just, you know, check into an Econo Lodge, which are all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to find, you know, like with couch surfing, just alternative ways to experience this huge country. Last week I stayed at a commune, or rather, I mean, as everyone calls it now, an intentional community.
Intentional community. I'd not heard that phrase before.
That's the phrase. Commune is a dirty word. among people who are involved in them. It's intentional community or eco-village, and, you know, it's got a long historical tradition in this country, you know, going back to the Shakers and the Pilgrims, really.
Sure. Yeah.
People wanting to live apart and live their own lives the way they see fit. So I sought them out last week and stayed with them, a place called Dreamtime Village in southwestern Wisconsin.
And I read your article, and it sounded like at the end of it you wanted to sign up.
I don't know if I wanted to sign up, but I wanted to stay a lot longer and do some work and see the garden bloom and talk more with these fascinating people who live there.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Mitchell. Mitchell with us from US 36 in Missouri.
Hi.
Hi.
Me and my friend are actually on a road trip right now. And, when we graduated from high school, we had this huge plan. We wanted to fly out to Spain and backpack cross country, but that didn't exactly work out. So our backup plan was go do a cross-country road trip out to Los Angeles and then up the East Coast back into Michigan, which both of us are from.
Uh-huh. And are you doing this on a budget?
Yes, actually. We don't have much money with us, but we intend to do this, like, all of it in a month. It's pretty interesting. This is only the second day of it, but we've been traveling around in a Suburban.
A big Chevy Suburban, yeah.
Yeah,
and
the rolling apartment, yeah.
Pretty much. And what we've done is we took the two back seats and we just completely lowered them, and it made a flat surface. We got some yoga mats back there, and we turned it into a traveling apartment, as you said.
Yeah. Have you slept in your car, Matt Gross?
Yes. I did. Oh,
ahead,
I did.
Matt.
I did early on in Raleigh, North Carolina, just once, and just because I wanted to. I'd never done that before, and I thought, you know, I should learn what it's like to sleep in my car at least once before I actually have to, before I'm forced to.
Hmm.
So I found a church parking lot, quietly set up my bed in the back of the station wagon and slept there all night.
Hmm. Mitchell, do you recommend it? I guess it's only day two, so you haven't gotten the full effect of the third day of sleeping on that yoga mat.
Yeah, it's really nice. We have three of them back there, so it's pretty cushiony. And the minute I laid down on it, I was like, oh, I am so glad that we have yoga mats back here instead of just the rocky back terrain of a trunk.
All right, Mitchell, good luck on the trip.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks to the internet, all of us can post travel tips and reviews on sites like TripAdvisor or Frommer's, but with all the conflicting advice, it can be tough to figure out whose advice to take. Nancy Keats edits the Wall Street Journal's weekend section. Earlier this month, she wrote about TripAdvisor, a website that lets travelers rate hotels, and she joins us now from a studio in Portland, Oregon. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil. Thank you.
And TripAdvisor, of all these sites, seems to be much the biggest.
It is. It has by far the largest number of properties and also the largest number of visitors.
And those visitors write reviews. And what you figured out is you need to learn how to deconstruct these reviews.
Well, you do, because what one person likes doesn't necessarily mean you'll like that. So, for example, a business traveler might not like something that Matt would like.
I like what business travelers like.
Liverpool may not like something what someone from LA likes. It's mm-hmm. just there are people from all over the world on the site, and so you need to really look at who is writing the review.
That was interesting. One of the reviewers that you got into contact with from Boston said, if anybody from Manhattan says something nice about it, I know I won't like it.
Yeah, he was getting that from his experience at sporting events.
And also somebody from Manhattan says, I only look at what other people from Manhattan write.
Right, because she said we're really picky. We have really high standards.
So be very careful about looking at where the reviews come from. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can get into all sorts of issues there about making stereotypes and generalizations. But, you know, in general, people, what they really want is to find someone like them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you are from a big city and you tend to trust people from a big city, then that's one way to do it. Another thing to do is to look at what that person has reviewed before and see if you've stayed at any of those places and whether you agree.
And because you can check the history of each reviewer. And if the reviewer has only been on once and wrote that review that one time, this makes you suspicious.
It does. There, you know, if somebody has only visited the site one time, you know, and it's a glowing review, and especially if it's a place that everybody else is not too happy about, mm-hmm. you can pretty much rest assured that they work for the hotel or know someone who does.
Or their cousin works for the hotel. It's interesting.
Right.
Often you write the reviews are dead on, and you can really find fantastic places.
Yeah, I mean, I gave an example in the story. I have a family with, I have two kids, and I've been going to New York forever for travel. And I recently found a place right near the UN. It had two full bedrooms with two beds in each bedroom, two bathrooms, a living room, and a full kitchen for about $250 a night. Mm.
I also have to mention one a reviewer looked very closely at the review. He didn't make up his mind until he read a review entitled, "What a Ripoff." One of the things that must be mentioned is the fact that the moment the sun starts going down, the beautiful chorus of frogs starts their singing till the sun rises again. It was hard to fall asleep with all the noise. The reviewer complained the music and the atmosphere in the bar was very relaxed and left for South Beach, Miami 2 days into a 10-day stay. And the reviewer was so clearly a meathead, says the person who looked at this site, who decided correctly, it turned out, that any resort that would scare off someone like that would be perfect for him.
Yep, that's right.
it's the hometown, you've noted, can be interesting. And the reviewer's name.
Yeah, I mean, everybody puts their own code name on there. And so, like, one example, a woman was looking to go to Cancun, and she saw someone who was called Crazy for Cancun, you know, the number, not the F-O-R. And so she immediately trusted that person because she figured she had a lot of experience, whereas if you get, you know, Joe Party Guy six pack, you know, and you're, that may not be what you're looking for.
And your experience also suggests that you go back all the way into the reviews. For example, I think you were in Carlsbad, California, and there was the place that got the highest rating turned out to have a beautiful view of the expressway and a power station.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of why I had the decision to write the story, because I, you know, been a travel writer for years, and I thought I really knew what I was doing. And I got on TripAdvisor and found this place in Carlsbad, which is a cute little town right by the Pacific Ocean. And everyone raved about it, so I booked it. And, you know, you get to this cute little town, and then you head towards the highway, and there's the hotel right across from a power plant and a railroad station. And yeah.
Other people that genuinely liked it, though.
Well,
yeah,
that's where you need to put your radar up, yeah.
I wonder, Matt Gross, do you ever use travel tips like this that you find online?
Well, TripAdvisor I use for one of its specific functions. You can, you know, not only search hotels, but it searches B&Bs and other lodging types as well. I use that part of it, but what else?
I think that's its strength, is that it's really good for places that are smaller and more obscure. I mean, if you're looking up the Four Seasons in New York, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ben.
Go on. No, go on.
I was just going to point out to Nancy Keats, though, that you do note that Travel Advisor has changed over the last couple of years.
Right. TripAdvisor. It started out as a site where it really just sort of linked to other guidebooks and websites. But they also let people write reviews, and they noticed that a lot of the reviews were positive. So they had the idea, well, we might as well advertise. It's a good way to get travel companies to advertise. And so they started with that. And then it came out that people actually might want to book through TripAdvisor. So now they have links to like Orbitz and Hotels.com. And it's changed the site. I've spoken to a lot of travelers who are frustrated with that, because it used to be you would get right on and get the reviews. And now you get on and it's sort of like an airline website where you put in where you want to go. And it's much more goal-oriented.
Hmm. Let's see if we get some more callers on the line. This is Wendy. Wendy with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. There's a little town outside of Portland. I live in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And my sister lives out there. It's called Corbett. And if you head out of Portland, like you're headed for one of the more common sites, like, say, Multnomah Falls, to go up the Columbia River Gorge,
mm-hmm.
you start out that way on the highway, and you take the Lewis and Clark turnoff, which is where they camped on the Sandy River, and you follow that road up the Sandy River, maybe a mile or two, and on your right, there's a restaurant called Tad's, and it's right on the Sandy River. It has great food. It's moderately priced, and then you can continue on if you want to into Corbett, or you can continue on into the scenic area. If you get to Corbett on the 4th of July, they have a great parade, complete with the fire engine and the kids on tricycles.
You taking notes, Matt Gross?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Corbett, Oregon, that's right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. There's not much. If you're going to go camping to save money, you will need reservations. Okay. We've unfortunately, a lot of people have found out about Oregon camping.
Is it a private campground or is it
a reservation if you're doing that to save money? But I think there's a bed and breakfast or two out that way, but I don't know how expensive they are.
Go ahead, Matt.
Is it a state park, a state campground, a private campground? Is it?
You have a little of everything out there.
Okay.
And the scenic area, I don't believe, has campgrounds necessarily right in it, but it's adjacent to a lot of places like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff to see. And take your camera. It's a great place.
And there's great fishing, too.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And you know this, Nancy, because?
I live in Portland, Oregon.
You live in Portland, Oregon. I see.
I have good friends who live in Corbett. It's a good school in Corbett.
And I assume the Tads she's talking about is no relation to the Tads of Times Square.
No.
Moderately priced,
but something more like
not such good food.
Sorry. If you want something more like Tads of Times Square, you can back up from Tads, go back towards whence you came just a little ways and go over the Stark Street Bridge. And there's a fellow whose name I can't think of at the moment who's a national chef. He puts out his own line of products even in the area here and around the world. And you can go to a high-end restaurant if you want to do that.
That would not describe Tad's of Times Square.
No,
anyway,
Tad's is not high-end.
Wendy, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it.
We're talking with Matt Gross, the Frugal Traveler from the New York Times. Also with us, Nancy Keats of the Wall Street Journal's Weekend section. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from James in Hot Springs, Arkansas. In Hot Springs, Arkansas, you have to go to Jason's Burgers and More. Handmade, pan-fried burgers, large and juicy, grilled catfish with the fixins, full bar, prices right too, burger about as big as your head for $3.50, hidden off the main drag. Great place. And of those places, I wonder, Matt Gross, that you hear, oh, this is the place you got to go. How many hits? How many misses?
Oh, I don't think I've had a miss yet. I mean, I haven't been able to get to everything, but maybe I'm just too easy to please, but I have a great time everywhere. All the restaurants have been great. Although, if you're a vegetarian, which I'm not, doing a cross-country drive like this might be kind of tough. I think there was a two-week period where the only vegetable I ate was coleslaw.
Or maybe a pickle, yeah.
A pickle. But, you know, the pickle and the coleslaw went with some fantastic barbecue, some great burgers, a couple of decent steaks. So, people know how to eat. People know how to eat what's in their neighborhood. So no one steered me wrong yet.
Let's get Joel on the line. Joel's with us from Ringgold, Georgia.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi.
My dad started on a project several years ago to make the world's only collection species-specific bird egg replicas.
Bird egg replicas?
Yes.
And how long did he work on this?
He's been working on it for 15 years.
And how many does he have?
He has 1,200 species right now.
What does he make them out of?
Makes them out of clay. Makes them out of clay and then paints them by hand. He fires them in a kiln.
And does he put them in replica nests?
He just displays them.
Just displays the eggs.
Uh-huh.
And is this available for anybody driving down the road there in Ringgold, Georgia?
Yeah, we actually have a building with them on display in Cahuta, Georgia, which is not far from here.
Uh-huh.
Is close to Dauphin, Georgia.
Matt Gross, you're going to have to turn around and head back to Georgia.
Oh, if only I'd known about this about 4 weeks ago, I would have absolutely headed there. I've heard a lot about great outsider artist sort of attractions like that. A lot of them go away, you know, as soon as they pop up, but I would have loved to check that out.
All right. Thanks very much.
He's actually 82 years old, and he's still going strong.
So. Well, we wish him the best of luck, Joel. Thanks very much.
We have a website. Thank you.
Go ahead. And here, an email from Josh in Auburn, California. If you ever get to California and you need to make your way up to Mount Shasta, stop in at local shops and ask about the local lakes and the camping spots around the area. There are so many beautiful things up there. Good food, wonderful people. Oh, did I mention that it's cheap to camp out up there? It's worth the trip. Matt, you're not going to California, are you?
No, it's too big, I think. I could, you know, spend weeks there and not cover it all, I mean, like every state, but... Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. You're married, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
This is a pretty interesting assignment. Your wife is not with you.
No, she's not. She's back in New York working away.
And probably checking on TripAdvisor for places to stay in Venice when you get back.
Well, actually, I think we're going to Hawaii.
Hawaii. Ah, all right.
Frugal Hawaii. We'll see how that works out.
Matt Gross, have a great trip. Every Wednesday in the New York Times, The Frugal Traveler. And
NYTimes.com/frugal traveler.
And Nancy Keats, thanks very much to you, too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Nancy Keats is editor of the Wall Street Journal's Weekend section. She joined us from Portland, Oregon. Matt Gross was with us from KBHE, part of South Dakota Public Broadcasting in Rapid City, South Dakota. When we come back, we're going to be talking about video games grown up, serious games. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.